novel tells a painful story of Uganda's Indian community through four generations of an Indo-Ugandan family. The East African country also has a troubled history. First colonized by the British, Uganda gained independence in 1962 and then suffered the brutal presidency of Idi Amin in the 1970s. During his dictatorship, some 300,000 people were believed killed, and in 1972, Amin ordered the expulsion of all Asians from the country. In the book, we see those years through the eyes of the family patriarch Pirbai, who comes to Uganda in the late 19th century, and his descendants, who suffer expulsion and eventually find refuge in Canada. The novel is called A History of Burning, and author Janika Osa joins me. Welcome, Janika.
Hi, Deepa. Thank you for having me.
Where did the inspiration come from? Is this your family history?
Yeah, so the novel is very much inspired by my own family history. My great-grandfather moved from Gujarat, India, to East Africa, to Kenya in the early 1900s. He worked at a railway station there, which was under the British colonial rule, and that's where three generations of my family settled and where they all lived until 1972, when under Idi Amin's dictatorship, they were expelled and they were forced to leave. So this is a story that, you know, it lives in my family, it lives in my community, in our history, but it's also one that we didn't talk very much about. And so for me, really, that was the inspiration, was this curiosity that I always had.
The novel starts with a teenager, Pirbai, who was desperately in search of work in rural India to help feed his starving family. Then he's tricked into leaving his home and traveling to Uganda to work for the British, building the East African Railway. Is that how Indians ended up in East Africa, Kenya, and Uganda?
Yeah, so that was the root of the South Asian community. You know, after the abolition of slavery, the British implemented indentured labor, and so they shipped millions of Indians across the empire, and one of the places was East Africa to labor on the East Africa Railway. And so many, many Indians worked in these terrible working conditions as laborers, as engineers, and also as officers. Many chose to stay and to settle once the construction was over. After that, because of the poor conditions in British-ruled India, the famines, thousands and thousands of migrants followed.
And so the novel follows Pirbai, who makes it out of that brutal experience of building the railway. He meets his wife, Sonal, and what you do is you paint a picture of Indian immigrants settling, kind of finding their place in Uganda, albeit amidst British segregation. So we have this scene in your novel, Pirbai and Sonal's son, Vinod, loved playing cricket. And as a little boy, he played with the African boys. Yet of all the boys, he was the one who got to go to school because he was Indian, not African.
Right.
Talk about why you wanted to play out the divisive element of colonialism.
What you're referring to is this colonial sandwich where the Europeans were at the top, the Asians were in the middle, the Africans were at the bottom, and it was this sort of de facto apartheid where schools, jobs, infrastructure, it was all separated. And the reason why, you know, this was so important for me to write about was because the way that the British set up this system, it put the Asians in this position of being the scapegoats. Right. And it's this old trick of colonization where you're dividing the racialized populations and creating this false sense of competition between them. And that is really what, when there was growing resentment from the people, when there was food scarcity, that resentment was directed towards the Asian communities. And ultimately, that's what fueled Idi Amin's expulsion order.
So before we get there, let's back up a sec. Idi Amin. I mean, I have to say, I was born midway through his brutal rule of Uganda, so I don't really remember much about him except his name. And so remind us, before the expulsion, he kind of said he was fighting for African liberation, but it didn't turn out that way.
Right. You know, he was part of this idea of Africanization, but again, it was very much coming out of this colonial mindset of pitting these communities against one another. And it's important to recognize here that as communities, we can both harm and be harmed. The South Asian community in East Africa, there was a great deal of anti-Black racism in that community, and that's something that persists today.
And you play that out in your characters, the African boyfriend of Vinod's youngest daughter. So this is now the third generation of Purabai's clan. So the African boyfriend, Adroa, he is rejected by her Indian parents. And, you know, it shows to me the prejudices that Indians held towards Africans. Then Adroa ends up joining Idi Amin's army, committing some brutality himself. But then he saves the family by helping them escape Uganda. You know, it just made me wonder how intertwined Indians and Africans were despite the British divisions.
Yeah, you know, when speaking to people during my research, there was kind of a mixed answer. There were many people who said that the communities were very, very much divided, that there was very little interaction between them. But then there are also people who would tell me that actually some of their closest friends were Black Africans. And so, you know, I think both were true. And for me, it was just really important in this novel to be thinking about, as an Indian migrant community that was settling in Uganda, what does it mean to be seeking refuge on a land that is not your own?
I want to move to the last third of the book, which is after the family has escaped and they're in, well, some of the family has escaped. I don't want to give too much away because the plot of the last third of the book kept me hanging, wondering if one of the daughters and her husband, frankly, had made it out of Uganda, were alive. She's the eldest daughter of Vinod. Her name is Latika. She was a political activist, and so was her husband. And, you know, at first they were part of the fight for African liberation, and then they started calling out Idi Amin through secret journalistic publications, and then they got in trouble. Tell me about writing these two characters, Latika and Arun.
It felt really important and urgent for me to be writing these characters from the Indian community who were political and very vocal about their politics and who were willing to put their own community on the line and stand up and say that some of this is not right. And actually, we can't be safe until we're all safe.
Yeah, it was a very moving scene when Latika thrusts her toddler into her mother's arms and essentially asks her to take him and raise him in safety while she stays on to fight in Uganda. But I want to ask you a question about the resettlement in Canada, because the family, as were other Indo-Ugandans, they were taken in as refugees, not just in Canada, in the US, the UK. It struck me that today there are so many crises that are causing people to flee their homes, but today they're receiving a very different welcome than your family did in the novel into Canada. Now, it wasn't perfect, but is it just my observation, or were you trying to make a point about how we treat refugees today?
I won't say that I was trying to make a point or have a message at the end, but I think inevitably when you're writing a book about migrants and refugees and people fleeing violence, of course the resonance exists today.
Shanika, what do you want readers to take away from your book?
For me, this was always a story. I was writing this because I was interested in the journey of this family. And I wrote it as fiction because I really believe in the power of narrative to move us. And so for me, I hope that a reader coming to this book will come away feeling for this family and also thinking about some of these questions that we talked about today, what it means to be a migrant community settling in another colonized place, what it means to be seeking refuge on stolen land, what it means to be both complicit and harmed by the nations which we're hoping to belong to.
Janika Osa's book is A History of Burning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Nipa.